Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a week later, and I have my voice back. Almost all the way back. Last week, it was definitely shot. Something's going around. I know that there are some folks who aren't here because they have this also. So we'll keep them in our prayers and pray that no one else gets it. But the good news is it will go away. That is the good news. God is a great healer. So we hear this Advent reading this morning. And this is my reaction when I first heard it. Really? Really? Everything about the scripture that we heard this morning feels out of place, doesn't it? It really feels out of place. I mean, we're like in the throes of Christmas going on here, and we're in the season of Advent, the season of waiting, right? Everybody else is like, well, Christmas is here, but we know that, well, Christmas really isn't here yet. So it just feels so incredibly out of place. You know, it's our first day of the new year. We're in a new book that we're going to be in for the year up until Christ the King Day next year, and that book is the Gospel of Luke. And so when we start something new, what do we expect is going to happen? Especially if you're starting a new book, where do you start? Chapter 1, right? Where did we start today? Chapter 21. It's like, what happened here? Isn't this all sort of backwards? You know, this is the last words, the very last words that Jesus speaks to the disciples before the day of Passover. The very last words. He's leaving the temple for the last time. It is the week of what we call Holy Week. And that just seems like it's not in the right spot. Isn't that supposed to happen in Lent and Holy Week and not today? So we really kind of ask that question, really? Is this really our reading for today? And then we think about, you know, the season of Advent, and that's right before Christmas. It's the time in which, what do? We gather together and we await Jesus. But we tend to want to await the birth, the remembering of the birth of Jesus. And so we say, really? Is this our word for today? And then when I think about it, it's like, yep. Yep. It is our word for today. It really is. Because the waiting part where we are waiting for Jesus is true. The part that's out of whack is that we're not waiting for the birth of Jesus. We're waiting for the coming of Jesus again. Because Jesus was born 2,000 years ago and walked the face of the earth. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the first coming of Jesus. But we're in a season now of waiting for the second coming. So, when will Christ come again? We have no idea. What we do know is that Christ will come again. But we have no idea when Christ will come again. So, let me ask you a question. Do we feel comfortable with that? No, we're a people that want to be in the know, don't we? We want to be in the loop. We want to know everything that's going on. We want to be on the inside. But you know something? No one's on the inside. No one knows. Not the angels, not Jesus himself knows when he will be coming again. Only God knows. Now, have you ever noticed that we tend to focus on the things that we don't know than the things that we know? We do that all the time, don't we? Let's see, gap analysis. Where's our weaknesses so that we can raise those up and fill those in versus where is our strength so that we can build up and continue on with the strengths that we have. So we tend to focus on what's missing versus what we have. And so when we want to know, we're going to search for clues in the knowing, aren't we? How many theories, books, television shows, analysis, coding, decrypting, recrypting, re-encoding. It's almost like the Bible has become this book in which we're supposed to use a decryption method to figure out everything that it says. Because we want to know when all of this is going to happen, don't we? We tend to look at the negative side versus the positive side. We tend to show when the end of the world comes, people fearing and running for their life, right? It's like every man, woman, and child for themselves, fearing that this vengeful God is going to come and get the people. What Jesus tells us in these words today is that the time indeed will come. He even tells us what it's going to look like, what to watch for. But he doesn't say, you guys better run for your life because God's coming for you. No, not at all. He says people are going to be afraid. They are going to be afraid. But you know something? You don't need to be afraid. When these things start to happen, what does he say? Stand tall. Raise your head up. Most of the time when chaos happens, what do we tend to do? There was an old thing we used to say at work when chaos was happening up here, right? Put your nose down, keep your head down, fly below the radar, don't get noticed. Am I right? We used to say that all the time. You want to survive this upheaval that's going on? You want to survive this, you know, reorg? Keep your head down, fly under the radar, don't let them see you. They'll forget that you're even here. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, stand up, raise your head. It's like, be bold, be courageous. That doesn't sound like the way someone would behave if this vengeful God is going to come and throw you in a place that you don't want to be thrown into, does it? No, it's the exact opposite of that. We are to stand tall and we are to watch. Jesus then looks at the fig tree. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a fig tree. I can't relate to a fig tree. Anybody here from up north, and have you seen like the dogwood tree or when spring, so you see that there'll be the seeds. Can you imagine what's going on inside that seed pod as it's slowly starting to burst open? And everything that they knew, that little seed, everything that it knew is suddenly changing violently. Violently, right? It's like, ah! You know, there's fear. But what happens when it blooms? It is the most beautiful thing that you have ever seen. Right? So I want you to think that perhaps this is that comparison of what's going on inside that little seedling that is erupting and bursting open into a brand new, beautiful, peaceful life. So Jesus gives these calming words. Don't be scared. Because your Savior is drawing near. Your redemption is just almost here. The Son of Man is indeed coming. So how is it that we can twist these words, this language of hope into a language of despair? How does that happen? Yeah. I don't have the answer, but I want to show you a painting. Anybody recognize that painting? That is Vincent van Gogh's painting. He was a Dutch post-impressionist painter, and he lived between 1853 and 1890. Now, when he was in his last 3-4 years of his life, I mean, he had a nervous breakdown, right? We know the story of the ear, and he had this nervous breakdown, and he was placed into a mental hospital that was a monastery. Prior to that, it was a monastery. And here is where they say he did perhaps his greatest work. And this is one of the works that he had done. Now, when you look at this painting, I want you to think to yourself, he painted this, by the way. He had two rooms in this hospital, this refuge, we'll say. And there were bars on the windows to keep him, I guess, from leaving. But he had a first floor and I don't know if it was a second floor. So it was the first floor pretty much where he did his painting from, because they gave him an art studio. And so he's looking out And he sees the sky. On the bottom part there, they say he couldn't see from his window. So, what does this represent for you? When you look at this, what is it that you are seeing? There have been so many interpretations of this piece of artwork. Some say that he is, excuse me, seeing a frightening sky, that there's nothing but chaos and whirlwinds and nature out of control. You see the colors of the black and the blue, and then you can see the white and the gold. Others look at this and they say, I see something that is bold and beautiful. And others will look at this and they say, I see a glimpse of God. What might it be that he is seeing? One of the things I didn't tell you about Vincent van Gogh is that his father was a pastor, and that he himself did missionary work, and that he himself wanted to become a pastor. He would have been very familiar with this passage that we heard today about what will happen with the sun and the moon and the stars and the seas. Perhaps if we look at this, we can see hope and not despair. And perhaps that might be what Vincent van Gogh was feeling. Hope and not despair. The knowledge of the promise of Christ, that God has indeed, through Christ, said, I will come again. And there will be no more war. And there will be no more depression. And there will be no more mental illness. And there will be no more sickness. And there will be no more injustice. And there will be no more hunger. There will no longer be people living on the street. There'll no longer be the haves and the have-nots. There'll no longer be greed. There'll no longer be jealousy. Whatever it is that you feel, there will no longer be. Perhaps that is what Vincent van Gogh was envisioning here, the start of the coming. Perhaps he was watching ever so closely, and he felt as if the hope and the promise was coming to him, who was feeling such incredible pain. It is to me just such a hauntingly beautiful image, if we can see it in that way. An image of hope that is painted by a man suffering from a very real disease of mental illness. God in Christ is indeed coming again, because God loves each and every one of us. There is no doubt about that. God is coming again. We have an entire book called the Bible that is a book of faith, where we see over and over again God's faithfulness to God's people. God wants us, you and I, and God wants the world to redeem it from its struggles. It's in this season of Advent that we're reminded that our entire life is living in the season of Advent. And sometimes I feel like we forget that. You know, we are in a state of waiting, but it feels like it's been so long that sometimes we feel like Christ isn't going to come. Or we say, sure, Christ is coming, but not in my lifetime. I wonder if that's what the people felt when God became incarnate in the baby Jesus. You see, every single day, we live in this season of hope and in this season of waiting. So really, perhaps, the text that we heard this morning isn't out of place at all. It really deserves to be heard on this first day of the new year of the church, on this first Sunday in Advent, where we remember that we're waiting. Because in order to wait with hope, we need to know what the end is. What is it that we're waiting for? What is it that we're hoping for? And Jesus specifically tells the disciples exactly what it is. I will come again. I can't tell you when, but I can tell you that when I come, I want you to stand up, you hold your head high, watch for the signs, continue to prepare. I will be coming back for you. But even I don't know when that will be. But what I do know is God's faithfulness. And that is the story that we need to hear today. When we live in this present world where sometimes everything feels out of control and we cling to this season so tightly. When I say this season, I think sometimes we cling to Christmas and all the good feelings that it brings. Well, let's cling to Advent and the hope and the knowledge that God will send Jesus again so that we will all be caught up with the saints and the angels and the host of heaven, and that this earth where we live will be made new. So yeah, really, it is the scripture that we needed to hear today. It really is. Amen.